Chapter 5. Wednesday. It was Wednesday, another fine, sunny day on UA campus, where absolutely everything was normal and nothing was amiss, and there were no plots or ploys of any sort. In the late hours of the blissfully uneventful morning, just before lunch, Toshinori wandered out of the staff room with his customary cup of tea and parked himself by Aizawa, who was more rumpled than usual and nursing a clipboard and a distinctly grumpy look. Together, they watched a construction team filter down the hallway to the main floor, varying kinds of building materials stacked on dollies or levitated by Quirk. It was a real procession, and the workers didn't exactly look thrilled to be there. "What in the world?" Toshinori murmured, blowing gently on his tea. It wasn't the most uncommon thing to see in a school full of superheroes, but it was still worth a comment. "We had an accident," Aizawa said dully, turning from the parade of building materials to glance up at his towering co-instructor. "Did you know that Mike has allergies?" "Excuse me?" Toshinori asked at length, mystified as how the two fit together. While he wasn't expecting any entendre-rich references to the previous night, which was still very much on his mind, Yamada-san's immune health wasn't really on the list of morning conversation topics either. Aizawa nodded, grunting. "Really awful allergies. When he gets puffed up, just one sneeze can level a piece of furniture. Apparently, during his music class this morning, he had a fit and sneezed about 50 times. Nearly blew some of the kids out the window. Luckily, someone had a Quirk suited to physically gluing them to the floor, which is why the construction crew is here. That and the walls. Or lack thereof." "Oh my, that's very unfortunate," Toshinori said, a wildly inappropriate smile tugging at his mouth. He took a leisurely sip of his tea and enjoyed the warmth on his raw throat. It seemed like Mike's luck. At least it sounded like the kids weren't hurt. "Pity you weren't there to erase him, actually. What set him off?" "A cat." Toshinori choked on his tea and spat fragrant jasmine green all over his hands and the floor. "It appears a cat made it into the mostly abandoned room he uses for his music classes," Aizawa continued in a surreally even tone, looking Toshinori dead in the face as the older man hurriedly wiped at his chin and cleared his throat, and stringently avoided the 1A homeroom teacher's possibly red eyes. "Maybe one of the campus cats, maybe not. They found cat toys, too. About 1,000 of them, stowed in the cabinets, which are now glued to the floor along with 11 children." Aizawa leaned in just the tiniest bit closer. His bloodshot eyes narrowed infinitesimally. "Strange." "That's really unfortunate. And I, have to go. Right now." "And just where are you going, Toshinori-san?" Aizawa half yelled after him in low tones, something malevolent in his voice and the way he said the name, like Toshinori was in deep, deep trouble. It was a cold thrill he hadn't felt since Gran Torino took the same tone with him, and instinctively he doubled his pace, officially hauling ass. "Nowhere interesting," the symbol of peace eked out, throwing his long body around the nearest corner, and desperately trying to remember where Midoriya was at that hour. Wednesday lunch. "Just until Friday. A day and a half, and then I'll take Himawari off your hands for good. At lunch on Friday, hopefully. Please, my boy. I would be humbled if just for a little longer." Midoriya sighed deeply, rubbing his temples. He didn't even bother trying to accurately recall the conversation. Having a hero as legendary as All Might beg you for something? It wasn't easy to say no, or to even listen long enough to realize what he'd automatically agreed to. So this was his life now. He officially had a kitten until Friday. or Friday at lunch at the earliest. It didn't help that the little furball had a name now, Himawari, and that Koda had informed them that she was actually a girl, after a short conversation with her. It was all a little much. Much or not, growing kittens needed to eat, which found the loyal young man hurrying to deliver Himawari's lunch to her new room around noon. The squad had searched this one a little more stringently, but not only was it clear for the rest of the week, it didn't belong to a hyperallergic professor or even a bird form professor. Midoriya felt awful about present Mike and the class, which he'd only heard about through the 1A grapevine and the relentless calls on the PA system for the construction workers who kept getting lost in the UA's labyrinthian hallways. Apparently, it was a mess, and the room itself would be out of commission for a while, even after they'd unstuck all the students and patched the walls. He supposed they could blame it on the campus cats wandering in, but not the cat toys. He didn't even want to think about the cat toys. Skittering to a stop at the door of 277, Midoriya discreetly glanced up and down the hallway before opening the door and slipping inside, trying not to let the cans of tuna clank too loudly in his backpack. The kitten would be comfy and fed for the next 2 days, with a litter box and a bowl of water. Otherwise, Himawari would just have to make do with string for the development of her hunter instincts. He sighed once the door closed safely behind him, leaning his forehead on the cool metal for a moment. What a week. Being a hero was exhausting. He'd never had to endurance medal before, and it was an entirely different ballgame than sprint medaling, and honestly, he wanted little to nothing to do with either for the foreseeable future. Provided All Might could keep his cats to himself. Right? Right? Unless, of course, All Might needed his help again. Well, it was All Might. Turning, Midoriya nearly jumped in surprise to see Todoroki on the floor of the otherwise empty room, sitting opposite from where Himawari played with dust motes in a bar of sunlight, rolling around and slashing her tail. Midoriya resettled his backpack and cleared his throat, trying to banish the startled expression from his face. Todoroki-kun? His classmate nodded at him, gaze still fixed, curiously on the cat as she played. Midoriya frowned and approached. Among all his classmates who somehow knew about the kitten, he hadn't really expected to see his new friend here. His new sort of friend? Savior, yes, but friend? I brought you lunch. The staid young man looked up as he approached, his halved gaze as transfixing as always. Then Todoroki looked back to the cat, his voice low. I knew you wouldn't take time to get some for yourself if you were focused on feeding Himawari. Oh, wow, Todoroki-kun. That's really nice of you. Thank you. Midoriya was a bit flustered that everyone knew their resident stowaway by name now, especially since All Might had just told it to him this morning. Word spread like wildfire in this school. Secrets traveled even faster if Kirishima carried them. Also, Midoriya wasn't sure how he was supposed to read that comment. Was Todoroki commenting on his inability to multitask? He flopped down next to his classmate and his stomach grumbled loudly. The line in the cafeteria took a little too long for me to make it in time, Midoriya admitted, eyeing the bundle by the other boy's leg. Without taking his eyes off the cat, Todoroki handed it to him. He unwrapped it, and despite himself, a flush rose in Midoriya's cheeks. The aroma of warm curried meat and tender white rice hit him like a ton of bricks. A very delicious, very familiar ton of bricks. It was pork katsudon? The timid young man cleared his throat again, instantly trying to account for how often he ordered it at lunch, because it was his favorite and he didn't get a chance to have it too often. But did it look like he was obsessive? Did he actually get it every day? Or probably it looked like he was incredibly poor and didn't get good food very often, especially compared to Todoroki, and he was taking pity on him. It was embarrassing. Or maybe the other boy just paid attention? Somehow, that made him a little more embarrassed. He knew Todoroki liked soba noodles, but that was about it. "He looks so happy," Todoroki said softly, bringing Midoriya down from the anxious seesaw of his thoughts. Himawari mewled, high-pitched and joyful, and promptly fell off the bottom of the desk she was playing on, tumbling bonelessly in that way, particular to kittens. "She." Todoroki glanced at him. Midoriya shrugged. Koda said, and he's the expert. Straight from the cat's mouth, I guess. Ha ha. Midoriya said lamely, unwrapping his lunch clumsily with bandaged fingers and digging in with relish. All this stress of keeping the cat and trying not to feel absolutely awful about the music room incident had messed up his stomach, and this suddenly sounded like the best thing in the world. After just one bite, he closed his eyes, smiling. It tasted incredible. But then, gifts usually tasted better. "Can I feed her?" Todoroki asked suddenly. Yeah, of course. Midoriya sputtered, ashamed that he'd focused so much on his own food that he'd forgotten the reason why he came. After pointing at the tuna pocket of his backpack and the can opener, he watched as Todoroki carefully approached the kitten, then opened and knocked the can of cat food onto the plate. His swift, curt movements were those of a sneak attack. Then he retreated and assumed the exact same tense position, cross-legged on the floor next to Midoriya, watching with every bit of himself as the kitten ignored the clammy pile of fish. It unnerved, or at least confused Midoriya a bit, to see the way he was acting. The tightly wound gears in his head began to turn. "Todoroki-kun, have you ever touched a cat before?" he asked suddenly, then wanted to smack himself for such a silly question. Turns out, his first instinct was right. "No," he said. "I've never had a cat." "Well, me neither. Our apartment was too small for pets anyway. But there were always cats in the neighborhood. And even though that one was grumpy and scratched anyone who came close, there were loads of nice ones too." Midoriya trailed off, poking at his katsudon, sensitive that maybe he was doing the muttering thing again. "I never had pets. Wasn't allowed." Midoriya looked over, unable to help himself. The look of isolation on his classmate's scarred face spoke to much more that Todoroki wasn't allowed to have. His utter absorption into the texture of the kitten's fur, the arrest in his mismatched eyes. As if hearing him and his thoughts, Himawari turned and trotted over, and Midoriya's heart squeezed to see Todoroki instantly draw back at her approach. "Well, this one is really sweet, and I'm sure she really wants to meet you," he assured his classmate, now definitely motivated to make this happen. Midoriya swiped his hands on his trousers and set aside his bowl, which Himawari immediately tried to invade due to the smell of warm fried meat, which was probably a lot more appealing than a cold can of tuna. Compromising, he plucked one of the pieces of katsudon out with his bandaged fingers and lured her over to Todoroki's knee, then placed it in his classmate's open palm. "There you go. A little gift always helps with the introductions." Todoroki watched, arrested, as she noisily chewed it out of his hand. Then he visibly straightened as she pushed her little snout and pinprick teeth against his knuckles, purring gladly. After a minute, he smiled. "So soft," he murmured, running his fingers carefully through her golden fur. Himawari ate it up with even more vigor than the katsudon, rolling underneath his hands and making Midoriya laugh at her antics. Then, watching Todoroki pet her, he suddenly had an idea. "Todoroki-kun," he said urgently, eyes bright, "do you think you can use your left side?" Todoroki's hand dropped abruptly from the kitten's back, and Midoriya blinked, curious.
I think cats are flammable,"
Todoroki whispered, thickly, expression verging on horror, and Midoriya nearly fell over. No! 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 I mean, use it a little. You can use it just a little, right? He asked weakly. Now, not so sure. As Todoroki stared, he tried to explain his messy brain and its thoughts. Cats love warm things. It would be like a heat lamp for her. You could give it a try, if you feel comfortable. But definitely don't if you aren't. She's probably very flammable. Please. Like, please. Todoroki gave a nod, after a moment, and held his hand far away, concentrating. Then brought it close and allowed her to approach it. She figured it out soon enough and glued herself to his toasty hand, purring nonstop. It worked, and how? Oh, wow, Todoroki-kun. It's so warm. Midoriya sighed as a little waft of the rich heat went his way. He closed his eyes, enjoying it. It felt good on his aching hand. The hand. And his wrecked knees. Sometimes the air in the school got a little cold and recycled, despite it being almost summer outside, and his classmates' warmth was natural and deep like a hot spring. He opened his eyes, and Todoroki was regarding him with a mixture of amusement and curiosity, and it made Midoriya feel like he was swallowing down his heart. He chuckled haltingly. I'm really impressed at how well you've managed to control your left side since the sports festival. I know it's a difficult thing for you to deal with on a lot of levels, but look at you. You're amazing. Thank you, Deku-kun, Todoroki said softly, petting the cat and visibly calming again with every ruffle of yellow fur. Then and now, I'm grateful I got to have this experience. Cats are pretty great, I think. Thank you for introducing us. Of course. You can thank Himawari for being such a good girl. Midoriya cooed, sneaking in a little scratch at her neck as she luxuriated in the gentleness possible in Todoroki's left side. Todoroki smiled faintly. You're always doing that, handing off the credit to someone else. Midoriya looked over. But the other boy's look wasn't judgmental or angry, just interested, and steady, and unblinking. An uncomprehending chill went down the timid young man's spine, but Todoroki kept going. When things go right, you're always the first one to say you had nothing to do with it. I mean, I don't know, I guess. I think you're all too generous with what you think I do, Midoriya murmured nonsensically, grasping for things to say as he plucked at the kitten's tail. And it's not like I brought the cat here on purpose for you. This has actually, been one big mistake after another. Your mistakes have power, I think, Todoroki said thoughtfully, catching his eye. Did you mean to lose the match during the tournament? No, Midoriya muttered, blushing somewhat. It just... Todoroki nodded. You do what you feel needs to be done, regardless. There's something about your moral compass and your energy that brings people together. To play with illegal cats? Midoriya squeaked nervously, now fretting at his red shoelaces. Himawari gleefully joined in, and there was a brief scuffle that ended with Midoriya handing her to Todoroki and away from his precious shoes. And other things. Todoroki admitted with a faint smile, looking all the more pleased to be holding the kitten. He raised her up high and fiddled with her tiny yellow paws, enraptured. I guess what I'm trying to say is that everyone crowds around you for ideas and encouragement, and you don't even offer in the first place. It's not what happens in the pro world, definitely not what my old man does. And it reminds me of how Ida talks about his brother and how he leads so humbly. And I think that's going to define the type of hero that you are. Todoroki looked over and gave his classmate a smile dazzling in its shyness and honesty. And I guess I'm looking forward to seeing it, pro hero Deku. If Midoriya could have died from the heat in his face, he would have. He felt the zinging sensation of power rising and quickly shushed All for One back to its natural seat in his bones, mortified. This was more than Todoroki had talked in their entire school year. And to him? About him? He couldn't help but put a hand over his mouth, turning away from his classmates' paralyzingly steady gaze. Thank you. Well, geez. I don't know about any of that, but... He laughed, short and awkward. Nearly died again. But, we're still rivals, right? Todoroki smiled again, lowering the impatient, wriggly ball of kitten into his lap and putting his hand to his chest formally. I'd be honored if you'd have me, Deku-kun. You're funny, Todoroki-kun. People don't give you enough credit, hand crusher. Midoriya gushed with relief, then looked at the classroom clock in alarm. Also, wow, we really have to go. President Mike Sensei's English class is in 10 minutes. The two boys scrambled to their feet with their bags and lunch remnants in tow, then looked down at Himawari, who had been laid flat by the power of the heat lamp hand with the nice lump of katsudon in her belly. I'm sure she'll find her way to the real food eventually. Midoriya sighed, patting Todoroki's shoulder. Come on! He scurried out the door and slung his bag over his shoulder, prepared to bolt down the stairs to 1A, but quickly became aware that the sound of his classmates' footsteps had stopped behind him. He turned and saw Todoroki motionless in the doorway of the classroom, hanging back. Todoroki-kun? He said, a little alarmed. The clock was ticking, and he didn't know how upset President Mike was going to be given the state of his music room, or, more important, how long Midoriya himself could avoid a teacher's eyes without telling them absolutely everything in an unprovoked eruption of guilt. Todoroki looked at the floor and put his hands in his pockets, expression unreadable. I wanted to say Midoriya, he began carefully, voice low. The simple surname somehow sounded mysterious or important when he said it. I like it when we have lunch with Ida-san and Uraraka-san. I'd like it if we could spend more time together, everyone, but also you and I. Oh, yeah? I'd like that too, Midoriya said, beaming. Todoroki was definitely a friend. He held out a hand, and Todoroki gave a small, self-conscious smile, tucking a shock of red hair behind his ear. Good. Together, fully friendly, they ran to 1A, only to find that English class was canceled due to unforeseen circumstances, according to a very irate Aizawa-sensei, who had no reason to be present other than to glare at them as if they were all personally responsible for English class not happening. Midoriya nearly died for a third time that day, while strenuously avoiding his teacher's field of sight. Then, as soon as their terrifying homeroom instructor closed the door behind them and effectively gave them a free period, Kirishima hopped on his desk and invited everyone over to a secret classroom for a secret surprise. With a disturbing lack of discernment, the entire class immediately agreed and bundled themselves out the door and down the hallway, chatting aimlessly and loudly about what the surprise would be and how secret they could keep it, and also what had happened to President Mike Sensei and how this could possibly be related. And Midoriya actually died. He was dead. It was final. It was official. Nothing could be done. In the end, it was the story of how he never became the greatest hero, because all of his classmates were awful. And seen. From the long window of the staff room, Aizawa watched the tiny noodle man that was Toshinori run across the grounds with a surly expression, bloodshot eyes narrowed. He took a malevolent sip of his coffee from his perfect cat mug and reviewed his strategy, as well as what he could expect from the next turn of the academic calendar. He knew the older hero was going to avoid him for the rest of the day and then purposefully break in their streak of visits, all because of the pressure of hiding his stupid stow-the-kitten-with-the-students ploy, and it rankled Aizawa's rational sensibilities and his general plans for stealing her. The whole thing was a mess, more of a mess than he'd ever bargained for. If he'd stayed for one moment longer after informing 1A that English was cancelled, because Mike was a fucking crybaby and had lost his karaoke machine in the accident, and he was in mourning, which apparently meant the students had to continue to be shit at English pronoun placement indefinitely, he was positive Midoriya would have passed out cold from the intangible chokehold of guilty omission. The boy's face was practically blue. It was only the headache of dealing with the short-term consequences of the medical ward paperwork that led Aizawa to peace out and go rage somewhere more private. But oh, the rage. The shenanigans rage particular only to teachers, yes. But more importantly, the fucking kitten keep away rage. He'd done his part, ignored the downy blonde fur on every other student's damn uniform, comforted Mike like he had no idea what or who had destroyed his music room, spiked the t-shirt he sent Toshinori home in with just a touch of catnip so Himawari would associate his scent with the good shit and come running next time. But even one day in, he was losing patience. And now the mark was spooked and trying to bolt, and that just wouldn't do. Tomorrow night, Aizawa was going to Toshinori's apartment. Toshinori wasn't aware of this yet, but it was happening if he had to slip in through the window. The homeroom instructor wasn't going to suffer all these injustices and this poorly executed subterfuge without getting his kitten fix. And maybe some head. For now, however, he let Toshinori run. Even wished him luck. He'd need it. If he had even the slightest inclination to keep his precious kitten, or abandon her to some villain who wouldn't treasure her half as much as Aizawa would. Fuck that.